Can you talk about your role here, and do you feel like you've been able to fulfill that role?
Yeah, you know, so my role here is that I'm a PLEO, Party Leadership Elected Official. That's what it stands for. And so, you know, my role here was to represent those people who sent me here. You know, I was voted on at the state assembly to come here, and I think that I've accomplished that. I told people I was a pledged Bernie delegate, and I cast my vote for him on Tuesday morning, even though on Monday he asked us to throw our support behind Hillary. He did not release us to vote for her. And so, you know, in honor of him and in honor of the people who elected me to be here, I cast my vote for him on Tuesday. So that was my role, was to be here for him. There are other roles that I've been serving too, which is after Bernie asked us on Monday to switch gears, to start supporting Hillary Clinton to be president of the United States. You know, I've followed this man. He's been doing this for 40 years of fighting for the common person, fighting for wage equality, fighting for college affordability. I mean, his message has been consistent for 40 years, and the man has had a long game plan for 40 years. Unfortunately, it's taken 40 years for the long game plan to finally come to fruition. But he's fought this battle for 40 years, and I followed him. And when he said, "This is what I need you to do," I have to trust that his vision is continuing. And so part of my role too, after he said what he said on Monday, was to not only cast my ballot for him and to vote for Bernie Sanders, but also to let people know, my general has asked me to switch gears, and I'm going to. As bitter as it is, as much as it tastes like sand in my mouth, yeah, I'm going to switch gears, because I don't have the luxury, as a Chicano who has two daughters, I don't have the luxury of sitting this one out. I don't have the luxury of voting for someone who isn't going to win and wasting my vote that might potentially result in Donald Trump becoming president of the United States. I don't have that luxury. My daughters are going to be harmed by this man and by his agenda. And I have to do what I have to protect my family, and that means casting a vote for her.
So coming here, did events unfold as you expected, or were there surprises? And I know even some of those surprises were probably expected, but can you talk about what you didn't expect?
You know, I came into this with a prism of perspectives, not black and white, but just a prism, and to anticipate that a bunch of things were going to happen. And sure enough, a bunch of stuff has happened, right? I even kind of anticipated that there would be some Bernie folks who, you know, are not prepared to go in the direction of Secretary Clinton. Fair enough. I didn't ask anybody to come along with me. I did say, you know, I'm begging you for the sake of my daughters and for others to think about coming. But there are some folks here who are really genuinely angry, and the WikiLeaks scandal did not help out. The DNC has been horrible. I didn't anticipate the anger, the level of anger that came from that. And I have to say, it's justified. When that came out, that kind of threw everything in disarray. The other thing I didn't anticipate was how this convention seems to be a running commercial. And that's how we see it inside the building, right? Speakers will go and talk about Hillary Rodham Clinton. And then they say, if you go to hillaryclinton.com, you'll learn X, Y, and Z. And people are like, what is this, a commercial or is this a convention, right? So I didn't expect those kinds of things. But by and large, I anticipated that there would be protests against TPP, that there would be protests on behalf of animal rights. I mean, all sorts of things. I mean, I anticipated that. Sure enough, it played out. There was a huge protest last night that sounded like it was really scary for people. I was inside the building. I had no idea what was happening. And when I walked outside the building, there was nothing there. So when I found out, when I got back to the hotel, that there was this big thing that happened outside, I was like, when? Where? And then I saw it play out on YouTube or wherever it was. And I was like, wow, I had no idea.
Have you been able to see anything else on the streets since you've been here?
There was a Black Lives Matter movement that came and went very quickly, but there was a Black Men for Bernie that happened right by City Hall that was pretty cool. You know, there's a lot of proselytizing of various religions. I saw one guy, this girl just minding her own business. She's just walking down the street. And this guy just led into her, calling her a Jezebel and just saying some horrible things, and I got mad at him. And I was like, man, who do you think you are? You don't know that girl from Adam or Eve. You don't know her at all. And you think that you have this self-righteous ability to call her a name on the street. Shame on you. You lost all credibility when it comes to trying to promote your idea of what religion is. And like other people came in and started just really protesting this guy who was supposed to be a protester. And I thought that was kind of cool. You know, I thought that was kind of cool that we all rallied around this lady we didn't even know. But we weren't going to tolerate this guy calling her names.
And given your experience here, did you have any moments or learning experiences here that will change your approach when you go home?
You know, I had a moment of catharsis on Monday when Bernie, you know, we anticipated that he was going to meet with us. And he's asking us to, you know, we have to start moving forward. I was in a breakfast with the Colorado delegation. The cameras were rolling. The press was there. And I had this moment. I almost broke down and started crying because I was like, you know, I believe in this man. I believe in his vision. And yeah, we lost. But we kind of won too because this movement's going to be going forward. But just
the issues that he exposed, you mean?
Yeah, all the issues that he exposed. But it was really heavy on me that, wow, we got to start switching gears. And it was that moment right there, this moment of catharsis, where I felt myself just automatically say, all right, I got to switch, right? That was big. That was heavy for me. You know, as a state legislator, I feel that as I move forward from this, you know, I think that it's my obligation to have to continue to build the party, that we have to bring these young Bernie folks in, and even those who aren't so young, but because they're the lifeblood of the party. And I think that the party has to change. I think that the DNC scandal demonstrated that this party has to change. And if we don't, I had a moment of clarity, and this is what I explained to Wellington Webb and a few others. If we don't do this, if we don't start making these changes, we're seeing the death of our party. It's bleeding from the inside out, and these changes have to be made. So yeah, those are the moments that I had.
Not to speak for Wellington Webb, but did he understand your point?
I think all of them did in that room. You know, I got a standing ovation and other people were crying, including all the other Hillary folks. And I think that we understand that our party has to change. I'll tell you the other moment that I had. I got to meet Elijah Cummings. That was cool, man. That was cool. We got to talk for a little while.
And what was the exchange like?
You know, I just told him, I walked up to him and I was like, you know, Congressman Cummings, I said, I'm a civil rights attorney. I said, and I'm a state legislator in the state of Colorado. And I got to tell you, you've been a hero of mine for pretty much all my life. And I just love you, man. And he was like, ah, man, you know, thank you. You know, let's take a picture. So we took a picture. And it was really cool. It was cool listening to the president. What was really cool, all the speakers. Michelle Obama was amazing. I love how they pulled no punches on this, you know, petulant crybaby known as Trump.
Could you compare the messages
that
you're hearing?
Yeah, so our message has been one, I think, for the world to know. I think in some ways, the Democratic Party, in some ways, without saying it, we're kind of apologizing to the rest of the world for what they saw last week. And we're telling the rest of the world, man, you know, we're not just a bunch of hateful people like the Republicans portrayed themselves to be. That's not America, what the RNC demonstrated. What America is exactly what they have seen throughout this entire convention. We have had such diversity from members of the LGBT community to the disabled community, women, communities of color, from rich to poor, from police officers to mothers whose children lost their lives to police officers. We have demonstrated that the Democratic Party is a party of the people and not just some of the people. And I think that's the biggest difference. And I hope that the American people understand that difference and that they're not motivated by fear. I think Joe Biden was right last night that that's not what we do as Americans. We're not motivated by fear. We're not going to vote based off of fear, that we're going to vote based off of principle and based off of morality. And I think that that message is going to be successful in November. And I think, by and large, we're going to whoop Trump's ass in November. And I'm going to be there to see that he gets his ass whooping.
Would you talk about your campaign? Are you going to continue on the same path? And this is kind of goes back to the earlier question, or have you learned anything about your constituency since the last time we talked?
Yeah, I learned that my constituency, that they're not inspired. In 2014, not a whole lot of them came out. And I almost lost my election. I won it by 221 votes. And they weren't inspired. And with Bernie Sanders coming into the fore, my precincts were packed with people, absolutely packed with people. They were excited. They had something to believe in. They had a message to believe in. And I need to carry that forward as a candidate and as a representative, so that way people feel like they're being listened to and they feel like the issues that they care about are being fought for them. So that's how I'm going to move forward as a state representative and as a candidate. And that's where I'm at right now. I mean, I'm not looking past November. After November, depending on what happens, then, you know, I can start thinking a little bit more clearly about what am I going to do next.
Sure, Salazar, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming all the way out here to Philly to interview me and quite a few others, and just the work that you guys do in providing real honest reporting. And I imagine that you're not colluding with the DNC at all, right?